Welcome to From Crisis to Stability. I am Dr. Eleanor Quay, coordinator of the Alliance in Ingham County. Like every month, I'm really excited about this podcast because it gives us an opportunity to talk honestly about challenges families are facing in our community and the hope that becomes possible through collaboration and relationships. Last month, we celebrate our 1 year anniversary, and it was a very powerful moment for all of us. We had organizations, churches, community leaders, and partners come together to celebrate what God is doing in our community through 100 Families Initiative. If you were not able to attend, I encourage you to go on YouTube and watch the recording. We had an outstanding panel discussion about nonprofit leadership, sustainability, and community collaboration. Now, our next Alliance meeting will be on Thursday, May 28, at 2 p.m. at Child and Family Charities on 407 West Greenlawn in Lansing. And if you have never attended one of our Alliance meetings, I personally want to welcome you. This is a space where organizations across Ingham County come together not to compete, but to collaborate. It is a place where we discuss the real needs in our community, where we share resources, where we learn from one another, and where we work together to help families move from crisis to stability. This month, our theme is trauma and mental health. And as many of you know, we are facing a significant mental health crisis in our community. Many of the families we serve are carrying deep emotional wounds and trauma. It may be childhood trauma, domestic violence, abandonment, neglect, shame, addiction, or incarceration, grief, rejection, and years of instability. And sometimes, when families come to us, we naturally focus on the one immediate need. We look at housing, employment, transportation, utilities, and those things are important. But underneath those needs is often unresolved trauma. Trauma is frequently the hidden reason why families struggle to move forward. And today, I am honored to have one of our faithful family advocates and a dear friend, Mrs. Krasheva Davis, joining us for this conversation. Krasheva, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome, Dr. Quay.
So, Krasheva, can you introduce yourself and share a little bit about your role and how long you have been serving families in crisis?
Sure, Dr. Quay, thank you for having me. I'm Krasheva Davis, and I am a family advocate with 100 Families. I've been working with Dr. Quay for over a year now, and I didn't know what to expect when I came to work with Dr. Quay because I had never worked in this field before. But as I began working with the families that I came in contact with, it was an eye-opener for me just to see how many people are in crisis right here in Lansing. And to see what they're going through and to experience some of the things that they're going through with them, it was an eye-opener for me. And I would have to say that working with these families has opened my eyes to a whole new system, a whole new community, just a whole new way of looking at things in a whole. And I just thank God for this opportunity to be able to serve the community in Lansing and to know that I play a part in helping people to go from crisis to stability.
Thank you so much, Krishiva. Thank you. Now, you know, as family advocates, we both understand that many of the families coming through our doors carrying significant amount of trauma. And sometimes, if we are not careful, we focus so much on solving the crisis that we overlook the emotional wounds underneath the crisis. I would love you to share from your experience what are some of the effects of trauma that you see in the families we serve.
Okay, well, Dr. Quay, my experience with some of the families that I serve, when the families first come to me, sometimes I notice that they're withdrawn. Sometimes I notice that there's a lack of trust in not knowing what they have gone through. Sometimes I just have to step back and just allow them to warm up to me and let them know that I'm there for them and that they can trust me. And that I've also had my past experiences. And I know that sometimes when I do open up about what I've gone through, then that opens up the floor to them to know that, okay, she's experienced some of the things that I've gone through. And so that allows them to open up about some of the things that they've gone through. And when they know that they can trust you with what they've gone through and that you are actually there to support them because of what you've experienced, then it helps the relationship better. It helps them to open up better. It helps them to feel comfortable with sharing, you know, the things that they're going through. And I enjoy that because I want them to know that I'm there to support them. I'm there for them. I want to see them succeed. And so sometimes if you haven't had those experiences, it's hard to relate to what people have actually gone through and what they're still dealing with. For myself, I know that some of the things that I've gone through in my past caused me to make certain decisions. It caused me to walk in fear. It caused me to be withdrawn. So I understand it causes you to not trust, you know, people when they say that they're there to help you. So I understand. And I just thank God for the opportunity to serve people, you know, and what they are going through and being able to just relate to what they have experienced. And in that, we're learning to build with one another.
Yeah, this was really profound, what you just shared. But you and I know a family, a woman we recently helped. So she experienced severe trauma during her childhood and even as an adult. Unfortunately, she made some big mistakes and was facing some serious consequences. But because of 100 Families Initiative, because of the wraparound services, because of people walking alongside of her instead of judging her, she was able to begin moving forward. Today, she's connected to a church. She's considering going back to school, and she's looking for employment. But I had lunch with her yesterday, and even now, she's still struggling deeply with trauma and mental health. And it reminded me that trauma does not simply disappear because someone's circumstances improve. Sometimes, families become more stable externally, but internally they are still hurting. Krishiva, can you speak more about it? How should we understand trauma? How does trauma fully go away? How can we better support families long term?
Okay, Dr. Quay, I'm not a doctor or a physician or a counselor or anything of that nature. But I do believe that trauma doesn't just necessarily go away. It doesn't disappear because it is part of who we are. It's part of our experiences, it's part of our lives, it's part of encounters that we've had over our lifetimes. So I don't think that it necessarily goes away or disappears, but I do believe that we can deal with it in a more healthier way. I would say seeking that professional help first off, and then allowing that professional help to show you a better way to deal with that trauma, a more healthier way to deal with that trauma. And it's not that the trauma is not going to raise its head down the road, but we learn how to deal with it. We learn how to counteract it in a more healthier way without returning or allowing that trauma to dictate the rest of our lives. I would say because I am a born-again believer, the things that I have gone through, I know that God has played a part in that. I know that God has played a part in my healing process, and He's still healing me. Because I believe that He's healing me, I'm walking in that healing process. I'm allowing Him to do the work in this process. I have peace. I have joy. I can go throughout my day knowing that, okay, things may not always be the way that I desire them to be, but it's better than it was. And I know that as each day goes on, as I'm taking it one day, one step at a time, it does get better.
Koshba, as you were sharing, it reminds me of my own journey as a physician. For many years, about 90% of the patients coming into my clinic were struggling with mental health issues, and many were also recovering from drug addiction. And often, those conditions were happening together. So as a doctor, I did what I was trained to do. I prescribed medication, monitored the symptoms, I followed treatment plans, and those things were important. But over time, I became discouraged because the clinic started to feel like a revolving door. The same patient coming back, the same struggles, the same crisis, the same pain. And I began to realize that medication alone was not enough to create lasting transformation in many of their lives. That experience pushed me to start asking deeper questions. I wanted to understand what was happening beneath the surface. And that journey eventually introduced me to the 100 Families Initiative. One thing I love about this initiative is that we do a holistic assessment. We are not only looking at medical symptoms, we are looking at housing, relationships, finances, mental health, trauma, the support systems. We want to understand the full picture of someone's life. And there is one common denominator we continue to see in so many participants. It is trauma. That realization led me to begin studying trauma more deeply. And during that journey, I discovered the concept of neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is the ability of the brain to change, adapt, and form new pathways over time. In other words, our brains are not fixed. What we repeatedly think about, what we focus on, what we meditate on can actually reshape the brain over time. One person who deeply impacted my understanding of this work is Dr. Lee Warren. Dr. Warren experienced unimaginable pain after his 19-year-old son was tragically murdered. During that season of grief and depression, he began studying the connection between thought, healing, and the brain. And he shared a story about observing a patient during brain imaging research. The patient was first asked to think about something painful and negative, and the brain activity reflected distress. Then she was asked to intentionally focus on something hopeful and positive, and almost immediately, the observed change in her brain activity. That story transformed the way he understood healing, and honestly, it transformed mind too. It helped me understand that what we repeatedly focus on matters deeply. Hope matters. Encouragement matters. Faith matters. Healthy relationship matter. Safe environment matter. The word we speak over people matter. When someone hears hope instead of shame, when someone feels support instead of rejected, when someone is surrounded by consistent love and compassion, the brain can slowly begin to heal. Now, healing is not instant, and trauma recovery is often a long journey, but there is hope. And this is why this conversation is so important for the families we serve. Many people living in crisis have spent years trapped in fear, trauma, hopelessness, shame, and survival mode. But healing is possible. Change is possible. The brain can heal, lives can heal, and when we combine support, relationships, trauma-informed care, hope, faith, and community, we begin to see people move from crisis to stability, and eventually into thriving and victory. As we close today, I want to remind everyone that healing is possible. Families in crisis do not simply need resources. They need relationships. They need support. They need safety. They need hope. And at the 100 Families Initiative, we believe that no family should walk alone. Thank you for joining us today on From Crisis to Stability. I hope to see you soon.